T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 11 o'clock hour here on a Monday midday show with Andy and Randy. We kick off the 11 o'clock hour every day with the NFL No Huddle, brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool, get an R.S. Andrews Precision Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back into the Braves conversation from the weekend. Whether or not the Braves and the Dodgers might be set up to be dealing with one another for a while.
Dealing.
Last year in the playoffs was maybe the first round. Seems pretty reasonable to think that the Braves and the Dodgers are on a collision course again this year. And if you look at the way the rosters are constructed, this might go on for a while. We'll get into that and how much fun that might become in about 20 minutes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40, as always. And, of course, we'll get back into some NBA topics throughout the day because the NBA draft is on Thursday. And you just posed a very interesting hypothetical to me, Randy. In the last, what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drafts. Since Anthony Davis was drafted first overall, is there a player that went number one that you would have taken over Zion if Zion was in the same draft? So we'll get into that stuff as the show goes on as well. Before we get into anything else, though, the NFL no huddle, and the Houston Texans are going to go without a GM. No general manager for the Houston Texans going forward. I guess they're going to make it through the season without one? Seems like a bold strategy. Never really heard of an NFL team not having a general manager, or at least someone who was identified
as
their general manager.
I'm sure there's somebody up there. To me, Andy, I looked at we were in the bullpen, and it to me just and I could be completely wrong about this. It just seemed like Bill O'Brien is just a tough dude to get along with.
It just seems like it.
And you know, when you look at Brian Gain, you know, they were 11-5 his first year as a general manager. What was the problem? Now, I had a problem with him going to the Patriots little Super Bowl ceremony. I had a problem with that. So that could have been something.
O'Brien probably did too.
Yeah, I had a real issue with that. But at the same time, I mean, he just seems like he's just not a fun guy to work with. I think it might have been Brian who said something to me like, "Are they going to be a team that wastes all that talent they have?"
It feels like it.
It feels like they will be one of those squads that waste talent.
Because they have a ridiculous amount of talent on their defense. We talked about it last week, obviously all the guys on the defensive line, but it's even deeper than that. They've got great, great players on that defense.
I mean, they need some corners. They are legit. If you look at talent, they got some going. Now, their O-line is god-awful.
And that's the problem.
And that's the crazy thing about it. That's the problem.
Because they're going to get Deshaun Watson demolished.
Exactly.
He's excellent back there, obviously. Yeah. They've got one of the three best receivers in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins. And it does. It feels like whether it's Bill O'Brien or whether it's because they've made the wrong moves in the offseason, whatever it is, it does kind of feel like they're one of those teams that you look back on and be like, dang, that's a lot of really good players to not ever really accomplish anything. Now, the thought process is, because this goes back to the grievance that the Patriots were filing against them for tampering with Nick Cassiero, is a guy who they're interested in. The thought is they're going to wait till he's actually available. And then hire him next offseason.
That was so petty.
Yes,
that
it was
so petty. Patriot petty.
Well, talk to our girlfriend.
Yeah, petty at Patriot. Yeah. That's what that is right there. I loved it because it's so them. That was the funny thing about it. That's so them. Mm-hmm. No, just petty.
How many guys have actually left the Patriots though in those roles? And I know Thomas Dimitroff comes from there, and there's been other people that have been in player personnel in the Patriots, but it just seems like everyone keeps going back to that well and saying, "Well, they were with the Patriots, so we'll bring them here, and it'll be great."
Yeah. Bill does everything.
Couldn't it just be that it's Bill Belichick that does all the stuff?
Here's the thing. Bill Belichick doesn't have the same rub-off effect as, say, Sean McVay. You know, all his guys.
What kind of effect?
The Sean McVay effect.
The rub-off effect?
The rub-off effect. Yeah, you like that one, didn't
you? Yeah, I did.
But when I go back to, when I look at this, how the whole Patriot organization, right, I go back to that old, it was a 30 for 30 when they were doing it on the Cleveland Browns before the move and everything. And they were showing all the people that were there. And, like, Thomas Dimitroff was, like, the lawn guy.
I mean,
it was so crazy. All those people that were in that whole staff, where they are as far as GMs, head football coach. I mean, that was just an amazing tree. But, yeah, this is just being petty. Ain't nothing, no more, no less.
Well, you know what? I can get behind that. Petty for the sake of petty is totally fine.
It's cool with me.
But it does end up with the Houston Texans not having a general manager right now, which, again, interesting strategy headed into a season. You mentioned the Sean McVay effect and how so many coaches got jobs the last offseason because of at least some perceived affiliation with Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt LaFleur was one of them. He actually did work with him,
yeah.
Although he didn't call plays on the offense in Los Angeles. He was the offensive coordinator, and then he obviously went to Tennessee last year and was the OC. Now he's the head coach in Green Bay. I'm interested to see how that goes. I know LaFleur already blew his knee out playing basketball.
Achilles.
That's not great. Oh, it's Achilles. Yeah, not great. But Aaron Rodgers said this, and this is going to be in a Mike Silver article that supposedly is going to come out either today or tomorrow. Read it. Read everything Mike Silver writes. If you love the NFL, read what Mike Silver writes. It's always really good stuff. He gets quotes that most other reporters are unable to get. Here's the quote from the story that's coming out from Aaron Rodgers and about Matt LaFleur. Quote, Aaron Rodgers said, quote, I don't think you want me to turn off 11 years. There's stuff that not many people in the league can do with the line. That's not a humble brag. That's just a fact. First of all, there's nothing humble about that. That's just a brag. Like, you're just saying you've been in the league for a decade plus and you're really good at making calls at the line. Nothing humble about that whatsoever. He's also probably right, but we know that what McVay did in Los Angeles is very, very coach-controlled. Jared Goff doesn't have a lot of say. In fact, he literally is getting to the line, getting set, and then listening to McVay give him reads while he's at the line.
Yes, because there's a 16 seconds, I think it is, that you can talk into the quarterback's ear.
And then it cuts off.
Yes. I try to tell people that all the time. Like, you know, I mean, but you need it, but that's not his fault. You know what I'm saying? If it works for y'all and y'all going to Super Bowls, like, man, talk to me all day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's great.
Sorry, he's a system quarterback. Are they winning in that system?
I know. That's such a weird criticism.
Are you winning in that system?
Yeah. I mean, every quarterback is a system because every team has a system, and you try to get the quarterback that fits your system best, don't you? Wouldn't that be smart? I don't understand the criticism of system quarterback. And also, I don't understand the criticism of game manager either. If you're doing what you're asked to do and you're winning, then whatever. But the thing that I'm worried about here, or wondering about here, is Matt LaFleur going to try to bring that same type of philosophy to Green Bay? Because it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers is interested in that type of philosophy. Again, I don't think you want me to turn off 11 years.
The one thing about when you're a young coach like that, you're dealing with a veteran quarterback. The one thing about veteran quarterbacks, you got to challenge them. You know what I'm saying? And I think LaFleur, if Aaron's opened up to it, would try to challenge Aaron. I'm not talking about challenge authority, trying to throw your chest out of Aaron Rodgers, but I'm talking about give him some new thoughts to think about. Because when you're as good as he is and been playing that same system as long as you think you know it all, but now you're bringing a new offense and you're trying to challenge him. Now, I think he's going to give Aaron more freedom at the line than what was it?
McCarthy.
Yeah, then McCartney did. But, yeah, there's that dude now, and he knows it. And I always say, here's something like this. If they don't get along, LaFleur be going for Aaron.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah,
you
know, I think LaFleur knows that, too. I better not make 12, man. Because if I do, I'll be out of here.
That's a hard relationship, though, if you're supposed to be the offensive coordinator and you're trying to install. Cause, I mean, you got to bring in what you know. Right?
No. Aaron ain't got that kind of power. He's like, nah, coach, we're going to run. I've been running here 11 years. No, bro.
Okay.
No. Now, here's what I like to do.
Okay, so then what do you hear when you hear this quote? That's basically what I'm asking. Like, when Aaron Rodgers says this, and again, the full context of the quote will be in the article, but what do you hear when he says there's stuff that not many people in the league can do at the line? That's not a humble brag. That's just a fact.
Well, I'm sure he's saying that, you know, not a lot of people can make adjustments on the fly like he does.
Let me do it.
And I'm saying LaFleur is going to give him that kind of freedom to call and change plays more than Mike McCarthy did. But that's about it. See, there you go with that media stuff again, trying to read something into something that ain't there.
Well, I hope that that's what he does, but why would he? Because he comes from offensive systems that don't give quarterbacks freedom at the line.
I don't think it's necessarily that. I think, like, McCarthy, of course, if it was an obvious something or whatever, you're audible or something like that, he's talking about getting to a point where he's like Peyton, where he can just, you know, let me just, you know, call this.
Right. Aaron Rodgers. I think most quarterbacks would like that freedom.
Yeah.
Most quarterbacks can't do that.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is one that probably could.
Yes, he can.
But I think he would love a situation like that.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's what I'm saying. I'm sure LaFleur will do that for him and allow him to do that. But what I'm saying is the system or whatever. No, Aaron, you got to learn a new system. This is how we do it. This is how I do it now. You're going to have to learn that. And I'm sure Aaron doesn't have a problem with that part of it.
Do you think Matt Ryan's ability to change at the line, his freedom at the line, will be any different under Cutter than it was over the last 4 years under Shanahan and then under Sark?
Probably. No, I think.
Because that's a constant, and I think it's a completely unfair criticism of Matt Ryan, but it's a constant criticism of Matt Ryan of, if he was actually one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, then he'd be calling his own play.
See, it don't work like that. Nobody does that. Only person that ever has done that since I've been watching ball was Peyton.
Right.
Peyton's the only one.
And if your criticism is Matt Ryan isn't as good as Peyton Manning, all right, well then.
And then you look at, and then if you talk to Peyton, I mean, it would be multiple plays would come in. Or if he saw some, he'd hurry, and all that. But more like, you know, they still had OCs. Like, Tom Moore did call the plays, you know, when he was with Peyton and Indy. And, you know, Matt Ryan, and I hate this one. Oh, when he ran the no huddle. It's not a no huddle, okay? It's not. It's a tempo offense. And, I mean, and Matt was really good at early in his career with Cutter and Malarkey because they allowed him to do it. But at the same time, he will get multiple plays when he comes in. It will be a check with me. It will be probably a run with a check to me pass or vice versa. So it's really not he's calling his own plays. If the look dictates that you run it, if it does it, you call the play.
And that's always been the case with him.
Yeah.
But again, do you think that it'll be a situation where it's more often that he's given multiple plays?
Yes.
And he'll be allowed to sort of make that determination on the field?
Yes.
Okay, so basically Matt Ryan has a chance to have more freedom this year than he's had.
Yes.
Because I like that.
I like it too.
Because, I don't think everybody can do it.
When you got a guy of his caliber, you do it. Like, I remember playing with Phillip. Phillip would get two plays in. Now Phillip would make Norv Mack, and Phillip would change the play altogether. It was so funny. Because, like, we're not in the personnel to run this play. Get over there! You know, he just, so that would be always funny. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, Matt is that type of quarterback where you can entrust. We've been saying it since when you thought that Dirk Cutter took a shot at Jameis. And, you know, you can have the whole playbook when you got a guy like Matt.
Yeah, and you can give him multiple plays at a time, whereas if it's Jameis, maybe you can't do that.
Yes.
Maybe there's only a few plays that you're allowed to use.
Exactly. Don't overload them.
Don't want to do that.
Yeah, don't want to overload them.
Yes. no, but I like that, though. And I think that speaks back to that relationship that Matt Ryan and Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey have with one another. Coming into a situation where they're going to keep a lot of the stuff in that Matt's been doing the last 4 years, but then also bring in their own wrinkles, which Matt already knows because he already worked with them. I think if you're talking about ideal situations, if you have to change offensive coordinators, Matt Ryan is in a very, very ideal type of situation coming into this season.
Because you know Dirk.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they bolstered the offensive line too. All right. A couple of other things to get to here in the NFL No Huddle. Tell me if this sounds like a Super Bowl guarantee to you. Or if this just sounds like a football player saying positive things about his team. This is Eddie Jackson of the Chicago Bears. You ready?
Let me hear it.
Quote, everything, how short, how far we've come from the losing record to the winning record, how short we came with the first round playoff game with the field goal. Right now, we just want to build off everything and let that be the fuel to our fire. We plan on taking this whole thing.
I mean, it just sounds like some typical somebody put a microphone or something in your face that he just say something.
That's what it sounds like.
If you look at this squad, Andy, they are loaded.
Yeah, they're a good football
team. They are a solid football team. I think a lot of it has to do with, it's always the quarterback's most important position. But it truly is right here when you're talking about a guy and Mitchell Trubisky. And they've done such a great job of helping him out and making the reads easy for him. You know, and that comes from, you know, how Andy Reid does it. You know, that's why Nagy got the job and all that there. They make it easier for a young quarterback so that he doesn't have to be all world and everything. Just don't blow it. And he's more athletic than you think. I like the kid David Montgomery out of Iowa State that they drafted. I really was hoping the Falcons. He was going to be a Falcon.
Out of where?
Out of Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State.
Yeah, good player. They got Tariq Cohens and all that, who was a fun player. Mm-hmm. Taylor Gabriel. Who's going to be the guy opposite of Allen Robinson? You know, they got to Riley Ridley and all that, but yeah, man. I mean, as far as this team is built, that defense is going to be so rough. Woo. Man, they're going to be rough.
No doubt. They're going to be a really good team. They got a lot of Georgia guys up there, too.
Yeah, they do.
We plan on taking the whole thing, to me, does just sound like a positive thing that you say about your team. Ben Roethlisberger, speaking of Petty, we were talking about Petty a little earlier. Did you see Ben's quote? You know, it's been a little crazy the last few years, maybe more so than usual, that we're used to dealing with. Oh, is that? Okay. But things are back to normal.
No. Things are probably rough up there, but you never hear nothing. Nothing got out of Pittsburgh. Nothing.
But why is it getting out now?
Because Ben Roethlisberger
won't stop talking
these
about it.
These damn selfish-ass dude, they keep wanting. Like I said, Tom Brady is the type of quarterback that can have a radio show. He's not going to give you nothing.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger's not. He can't do it. Because all he gonna he tell all the business.
Although it's more fun for everyone else except for the team. What's more fun for fans?
But I'm just saying,
I'm a football fan. I
understand that. But when you talking about a locker room, it ain't got time for fans. It's supposed to be about us.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about us.
But you especially when you're the quarterback.
Man, shut up, Ben. you know, so I don't really care too much for him.
No, and why would you?
Yeah.
LeVar Ball's back on TV. Lonzo
gets
traded.
There you go.
It's ESPN actually benefited the most from the trade. They got LeVar back because LeBron had him on that gag order. All right, we'll come back and talk about the Braves and the Dodgers and whether or not we're set up for a long-term rivalry. The Braves did some special stuff over the weekend. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
As Acuna scorches that ball toward the Braves bullpen, that's going to carry out. It is bombs away in Atlanta, GA again tonight.
Courtesy of Fox Sports out there yesterday as the Braves absolutely demolished the Philadelphia Phillies by a score of 15-1.
Foots.
15 foots in the Phillies yesterday. Took the series 2 out of 3. Have a 2.5-game lead in the division now. We know all of that stuff. That's all very good stuff. And we'll get back into the weekend and look forward to tonight's game in just a couple minutes. Ronald Acuna goes 4-for-5 yesterday. His average is back up to nearly 300. Another home run. He's got 16 on the season at this point. And the Braves are playing, overall, they're playing the best baseball they've played all season, obviously. Offensively, they're playing the best baseball since I don't know when. I mean, it's been a really long time since you've seen a baseball team go on the type of hot streak that the Braves offense is on right now. Over the last 10 games, they're averaging 7.8 runs per game. They're 9-1 in those games. They're 24 out of their last 34. They're 12-3 in the month of June. Pick a period of time over the last month or so. The Braves are phenomenal in that yes. period of time. So we understand all of that. I think it's gotten us to the question now, and we talked a little bit about this in the first hour, but I think it's fair to start looking forward a little bit. I know that there's still issues on the team, right? There's still stuff that they're going to have to deal with.
Right.
But the reason the Braves are in the position that they're in right now is very similar to the reason the Braves were in the position that they were in last year. It's a good core of talented offensive pieces, and hopefully you're going to be able to build around that with pitching and all that sort of stuff. But if you look at the Braves roster right now and the youth that's on the Braves roster right now and the stability that you're going to be able to predict on the Braves roster right now, Ronald Acuna's on an 8-year contract. He's not going anywhere. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
Dansby's under the age of 25, and I would assume that they'll at some point in the next couple years figure out a way to keep Dansby here long term the way that he's been playing.
All right.
Freddie Freeman's got 2 years left on his deal, but they're going to sign Freddie. Yes. Freddie's not going anywhere. You go down to Austin Riley, who's still under club control for the next 6 seasons.
That's so raggedy.
He's 22 years old. He's not going anywhere. Ozzy Albies just signed a long term deal. Look, you've got this young, ridiculously talented core, and that's not even getting into the pitchers yet, that it's fair to look at and say, man, I feel like these guys long time. I heard the same thing said about the Dodgers last night on the broadcast when they beat the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
You look at what the Dodgers have in their roster and their core. It's a lot of really good young guys that they're winning baseball games with right now. And it just made me start to wonder, and this is way far down the road, but still, it's fun to do this when the Braves are playing well. It kind of seems like these two teams are set up to be dealing with one another for a while now. And they played in the playoffs against each other last year.
Right.
If all goes according to plan, they're going to play in the playoffs again this year, ideally in the NLCS. Maybe the Dodgers will lose early, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So the Dodgers are the team that you have to go through. And if you just look at the amount of young talent that the Braves have and the amount of young talent that the Dodgers have, these guys are going to be facing off against each other for a while.
That sounds good. It does. And we've been talking all year about different tests that the Braves have done, and they just passed this one with the Phillies, and hopefully they get a chance to, you know, get another chance to the Dodgers. I said this last week. Didn't I say the Dodgers and the Cubs, and so they get a series coming up with the Cubbies. That'd be another test for me. That's gonna be one of those tests for me
because Chicago.
Yeah, because they're one of the top teams in the NL. I mean, and especially if you're talking about young talent. Look at how those guys and how they just came. Seemed like out the minors just started just being superstar players, And so they can find a way to beat, win at least two out of three in that one. Then I'd be like, okay, it's on to the Dodgers right now. And we're talking about the roster comparison, and we're talking about the young talent and all that. I'll just go position by position for you. So,
sure.
Kenley Jansen.
That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one that's obvious and glaring. They've got a closer who, what, has 25-plus saves every year for the last eight seasons.
So I got to rattle nothing else off.
Okay.
Nothing. I'm good with you.
No. You can keep going.
That's why I want with him first.
Oh, but that's the obvious thing that the Braves
because
have
to do. I look at it, and you look, okay, if you go right field, okay, Bellinger, it's not even close.
No.
Not even close.
Cody Bellinger is probably, along with Mike Trout, the best player in baseball.
Yeah, it doesn't. Okay, shortstops. Corey Seager.
Yeah, okay. he's hurt, though.
I know he's hurt, but I'm just talking about we're projecting, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We're projecting.
No, Corey Seager's
gonna get
really
he's going to get healthy. I'm talking about we're projecting.
Corey Seager's better than Dansby Swanson.
Okay. Yes. Max Muncy?
Second base? I'll take Ozzie.
Okay.
If you add in everything that Ozzie does defensively, and I know I'm maybe a prisoner of the moment right now because Ozzie Albies is batting like .475 over the last week.
Right.
But I'll take Ozzie. He's younger.
Justin Turner.
Third base? I'll take Austin Riley all day.
I love Justin.
Yeah, I'll take. I like Justin Turner too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
But
of his.
Again, I know Austin Riley. We've got like 28 games to go off of. But I'm not trading Austin Riley's possible future for anything right now.
All right. So with all that being said, and I'm not gonna go through all of them. 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton.
Yep.
Bueller.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Hill.
Well, Ryu.
Yeah.
Ryu's their best starter right now. He's the best starter in the National League.
I like Ryu, but I'm not. I mean. How do we think this is a flash in the pants for him?
I mean, he's not going to have a 1.5 ERA for the rest of his career.
Okay.
But, I mean, if we're going to give Soroka credit for being what he's been so far this year, we got to give Ryu credit for what he's done this year, too.
But see, the credit that I'm giving is Mike Soroka is that it looks good. Hey, that's what we need. That's because that's something that we haven't had here. I'm talking about them boys out in L.A., Them boys out in L.A., you know what I'm saying? That's been a consistent thing. This whole thing with Mike Soroka over the past, 4 years, it's new to us as Braves fans.
Mm-hmm.
This is us to have a young pup at the beginning of your pitching rotation doing the things he's done. When's the last time we seen that? Anybody?
Bueller? I mean, Bueller. I mean, when Tehran first came up, he was pretty great his first couple seasons. But I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying, and that's what it feels like, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, because what you're saying, at least I assume what you're saying is, when's the last time we saw that? It was the 90s.
Yeah.
When it seemed like every player you called up in that run of guys was, all right.
Just doing work.
And now here comes Chipper, and now here comes Andrew Jones, and now here comes this guy, that guy, the other guy, and every single player. And a lot of that was trades and free agent acquisitions as well, but it seemed like every move they made was a stroke of genius.
How copying them, how they did those things was... They had that, like those guys you were talking about, but then they would go get a Fred McGriff.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go, they would go get these guys. And right now, in Alex's new tenure, whatever, he seems like he's trying to get those guys. Now, me and you both think it's funny that, from what we've been told, that, this Josh Donaldson thing was a favor. Well, let's hopefully that favor pays off. But you got it. You still, as great as you have been as far as drafting prospects and all this, Andy, you still got to get some of those guys on the free agent market. I mean, did you see what the Yankees did yesterday? The day before yesterday?
They traded for the American
League.
What's
wrong with your squad?
Oh,
y'all just giving away people.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, y'all just giving away folks.
They're having a fire sale. Yeah, and the Yankees went and got Edwin Encarnacion from the Mariners.
Okay, then
if you go look at the Mariners roster. If there's something that you like, let them know because they'll trade it to you for anything right now. They're completely tearing down what they have, and they're doing it publicly.
Oh, we got Swarzak out of it. That's right. Thanks, Brian.
Oh, yeah, you already got Swarzak.
I'm looking at this.
Hey, but look, I know that we're sarcastic about Swarzak. He's been fantastic since he's been
here. He's been okay.
No, he's been the best bullpen pitcher since he got here.
Okay. We thought that. Well, no, we never thought that. I think I was more on that Jerry Blevins bandwagon because his name was Jerry.
Yeah,
because
it's funny because his name was Jerry.
Yeah, his name was Jerry.
That's really it.
But he's been solid.
Yeah,
been solid.
Him and Sean Newcomb have been the best guys out of the bullpen since Anthony Swarzak.
Look at this damn Yankees lineup. Good Lord mercy.
I know.
Stanton coming back tomorrow, I think. And then I think Aaron Judge will be back next week.
Uh-huh.
Are you serious? Look at this.
You're right. You're right. And they probably could have used more pitching, and they went out and got the American League home run leader to add to their lineup. And that's absolutely – but that's another reason, though, when I look at what the Braves are doing right now, at least I maintain an optimism of, I'm not crazy enough to say after going 9-1 in 10 games or 12-3 in June or whatever it is to say that they're better than the Dodgers now. The Dodgers are still the class of the National League, and Hyunjin Ryu is 32. So,
he's not a young guy.
No, I mean it's not like, you know, this is something that you're going to expect for a long time. He's just found it right now, and it'll probably go away at some point. But you're right; they've got a better starting rotation, no doubt. They've definitely got a better bullpen. They actually have a closer. Yeah. But the Braves lineup from top to bottom to this year. Now, I know we're projecting long term with some of the young guys, but this year from 1 through 8.
How long do you? But I'm just saying, I got you all that. But this is what makes me so encouraged about this Braves lineup is they're going to be together for a long time.
Exactly.
They're going to be together a long time. I mean, Josh Donaldson is going to go away. You put Riley over there at third or whoever. Pache's coming up. I mean, you talk about the length of this lineup. Look how long it's going to be together. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, you know, Alex Jackson, hopefully, you know, he'll become more consistent. He'll stay up. And then, you know, by then I think and it's coming to me like, you know, Camargo, they're going to try to find something for him. And I think he can get something good for him because he seems just like he's that kind of dude that the more he plays, the better he's going to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of my whole point with the Dodgers comparison at this point is – it's not just saying that you might be able to compete with them this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the talented young core that you have, it feels like you're set up to compete for a good long time.
Yes.
Now, the only flip side of that maybe makes me a little bit uncomfortable and worry a little bit is you know that management sees that too.
Right.
And the fact that they haven't had to go out and spend a ton and be splash makers in free agency and all that kind of stuff, and they've been able to do it through the minor league system, it doesn't give me a ton of optimism that they're going to go out and do something before the deadline and have to spend a bunch of money to bring somebody in to make the team better. But I also don't know how much you have to do to make this team better enough to feel like you could go into a series with one of these teams in the National League, the Dodgers most specifically, and win the series, because you started with Kenley Jansen, and that's the one spot where I feel least comfortable.
Right.
I would also like to add another starting pitcher, but offense for offense this year, I'm not scared.
Who's
in the playoffs?
Did you see what the Padres and the Rockies did? 96 runs? Come on,
right.
Man. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
It was 14-13 yesterday.
Yeah,
the final score in the game. But the Braves scored more runs than both of those guys yesterday.
Yeah.
They scored 15 runs on their own.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's 78 runs in this 9-1 stretch.
They've been doing their thing, man. But we never have been worried about them. Like I said, that was that one little lull they had with running the score position. Well, we really have not had to worry about this lineup. We've always contended that they have a World Series-type lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other part.
All right, we're going to come back and get to the Wendy Zone.
Bang, bang.
Also, you need to be listening for the sounder for your chance to win tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament that's coming to town on July 7th. So listen closely for your chance to win some tickets. All right, we'll be right back with the Wendy Zone. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Big 3. Call now and win tickets.
Everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
11:40 here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. That means it's time for the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio, working microphone and everything. Before we do that, though, got to congratulate Emmanuel Thompson. He's won a pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball tournament on July 7th at State Farm Arena. Emmanuel Thompson from Ellenwood. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
From Ellenwood.
Well, he was able to decipher the sounder and call into the right radio station. So that's good.
Unbelievable.
Good times. Well, if you missed the Randy and Andy show on Saturday, you missed the debut of the Brian Zone. And in the Brian Zone, Brian Gebhardt brought up the fact that O.J. Simpson just can't stay out of the spotlight and just stay out of his good fortune and decided to join Twitter.
Yes.
Now, you guys asked Brian on the air if he has like a little verification, a little blue check mark. Twitter no longer does the verification.
Oh,
so you're
they don't?
They don't. Oh. So if you're lucky enough to have the verified, you're going to be the only one.
You guys,
now.
You have one, don't you?
I do.
And so do you, right?
Yeah.
You're verified.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I never thought what the big deal was, but I remember.
Well, that's because you're verified.
I remember when Wendy and the other dude, my man that worked the night shift.
Yeah, for sure.
They used to fuss about this thing. I was like,
well, I'm on his side.
Is it really that big a deal?
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal, but it would be cool.
It feels cool.
It's like
check mark.
Yeah, it's like admission into a club or something like that. But again, you wouldn't know anything about that. You probably never had to wait in line. You probably always gotten to walk through the velvet rope.
I promise you, I didn't know about it until my man who does handle stuff for me, he was like, you want me to get you a blue check mark? I was like, for what? It means you're verified.
That's nice that you had someone do it
verified
for you.
He's like, verified is what? Oh, yeah. That's really important to me.
Must be nice.
No, it's cool.
Must be nice.
It's cool.
I'm with Andy. I think it's important.
Yeah, cool. I would love to be verified, but I never will be, and that's okay.
Because they don't do it anymore.
No, they don't do it anymore.
No, but I'm saying they still did it. Of course you'd be.
Would I be?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I'm verified in my own mind.
That's all that matters.
You should have been able to get verified because there's some parody accounts. So
there are parody accounts.
They got some parody of Andy Bunkers?
Yeah. There's a guy who calls himself Dandy Andy Bunker and sometimes goes after Chip Carey.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, take it easy. He's going to think it's me.
Right.
And then there's another one. It was the TBM 929, the Night Show fan page.
Uh-huh.
That was a good one. And then there was one other good one that was about Jarvis not being able to talk on the microphone. It was like a picture of Jarvis with tape over his mouth. It was very funny.
The only one I've had was the Randy McMichael Media Member account.
Yeah,
don't think I don't know who set it up because I do know.
Ooh, I want to know.
But it ain't do nothing bad, though. Because I said, hey, you can have it. We can have fun with it. Just don't do that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Wendy, what you got?
Anyways, O.J. Simpson is not verified, but he's at The Real O.J. 32. He already has 642,000 followers. He just opened his Twitter account on Friday, and he posted the first clip on Twitter, which I'll play for you in a second, but I really don't think he's got a grasp on what Twitter is actually for. So here is his opening video he did on Friday.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at The Real OJ 32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Getting even.
I got a little getting even to do.
Run!
You know, like,
run away!
Would you not be scared, like, if OJ, because we know the fact that OJ cuts people up, all right? Whatever, all right? You can tell me what you want to. People get mad when I say it, but whatever. But, hey, come on, man.
Get even, huh?
Get even with who?
I don't know.
You did everything. Are you still mad the brother took your memorabilia? Like,
you know who, if I was, oh, God, what's the running back who used to play for the Raiders?
Oh,
Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen? Yeah, I might go get up
get a
Marcus.
Restraining order.
Yeah.
Keep OJ away from me.
Okay, but that wasn't the only video OJ Simpson has since posted on his Twitter account, because on Saturday he posted the following. He was standing in front of a pool, kind of looking relaxed, and this is the message he sent out to his Twitter followers on Saturday.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, for years, people have been able to say whatever they wanted to say about me with no accountability. But now I get to challenge a lot of that BS and set the record straight. More importantly, I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics. But for now, let me just fellow fathers out
drunk.
There, happy Father's Day, and God bless.
Okay, so in that clip,
he was definitely drunk.
Yeah, man.
And you heard him. He said he wants to talk about everything. So I don't think he's grasping the fact that you tweet. You normally just write your thoughts. So he sent out another video yesterday. And he had
let me see if the same greeting. Go ahead.
Hello,
Twitter world.
He did do that. I cut that part off because it was
dang it.
Because it was a 2-minute video.
Okay.
So I had to cut off the very first part. But he does say hello, Twitter world. But he wanted to clear up a very important rumor that's been going around. I think you guys will get it once I play the clip.
My life has always been involved in the sports world, and I suspect as the week goes on, that's pretty much what we'll be talking about. But once in a while, I'm going to go off topic and talk about something else, and this is one of those times. You know, Bob Kardashian, he's like a brother to me. He's a great guy. He met and married Chris, and they really had a terrific time together when they were together. Unfortunately, that ended. But never, and I want to stress, never in any way, shape, or form had I ever had any interest in Chris romantically or sexually, and I never got any indication that she had any interest in me. So all of these stories are just bogus, bad, you know, tasteless. Chloe, like all the girls I'm very proud of, just like I know Bob would be if he was here, but the simple facts of the matter is she's not mine.
Okay, so what O.J. Simpson is referring to, if you don't know, Robert Kardashian was part of his trial camp when he was in the murder trial, and there was rumors that he and Kris Jenner, who is the mom of the Kardashians, he fathered Khloe Kardashian. So he had to clear up the rumors on his Twitter account. Now, that video is 2 minutes, and that was just a little portion.
2 minutes of O.J. slurring drunken denials. Now,
correct.
My question is this. Well, like, there's a big picture question about whether or not, like, we should even be doing any of this. But that's not really, you know, well, that's another question for another day, I guess. So is he just going to, like, go one by one, all the stuff? Because that's a pretty recent one, because that came out a couple months ago. And I guess people have been talking about him maybe being Khloe's dad for a while. But there was a very specific rumor about something that happened between the two of them. That came out of a couple months ago. So is everything that's ever been said, every rumor that's ever been out there, he's going to go one by one and deny all of them?
I don't know, man. But, I mean, they did some nasty stuff back in the day. OJ and you know they were some.
I don't know if you just heard OJ say that, but he said that they didn't.
Randy. Yeah, man. You know they did some nasty stuff. All of them hanging out at the pool, drinking Chardonnay.
So what are
whiskey.
You saying? You're saying OJ's lying?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I ain't got no. Yeah. They, you know they were like.
I don't know why you would assume that.
Weird.
You know they were. You know they had Brentwood turned out, man. You know, come on, man. And it's okay. If that was y'all thing, y'all was into the freaky deaky, do you.
Right, that was okay.
Yeah.
That part of it was okay.
Hey, man, do you, man. If that's what y'all want to do.
It's just
go ahead.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing in and of itself.
Hello,
Twitter
world.
Hello, Twitter world.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly.
This is yours truly.
Okay.
Dude, he said football, fantasy sports, and politics. All right. I'm not saying OJ don't know nothing about fantasy football, nothing, but is somebody really going to call OJ for some?
I go one place and one place only for my fantasy football advice.
Man, you
Where
both.
Is that, Andy?
Where is that, Andy?
Brian Gebhardt's podcast, Two Dudes, One Fantasy, available on 929thegame.com.
It's one of my favorites.
It's the only fantasy football podcast, not only that I listen to, that I've ever listened to.
I think, honestly, me too.
Me too.
Yeah, I have no reason for fantasy football, but because Brian does it, I want all the info I can get because people expect me to know fantasy
football.
Until
we all play each other coming up in the fall.
Now, if Brian has OJ on his podcast, I will listen to that.
I just want to know this. And I know Hugh is like, he doesn't follow him, but he goes on his account and look at the comments. Has there been one positive comment on anything that OJ has, one of his?
Probably not.
I was saying, what positive can you say about OJ?
I don't.
Congratulations, yacht.
I mean, there are 642,000 people.
The first comment on that last one we just heard.
Yes.
Somebody tweeted, still using the prison phone, huh?
Oh, no.
Why is OJ's video on Game Boy color quality?
I mean, isn't the quality just raggedy?
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Would it kill him to up the quality? Maybe not him.
It's like people ain't got no time. We got nothing but time, man.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you, Wendy. Hey, in an hour from now, we're going to debut a new game at 12:40 called Snit or No Snit. Whether or not Brian Snitker said it or we made it up, we'll get into that at 12:40. Coming up next, though, top of the 12 o'clock hour, the most important audio in the entire world. Don't go anywhere. Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.